Mike Malevsky here with another in our series of interviews with candidates in contested races on the November ballot. And it's my great pleasure to welcome Pete LaFrance. Welcome, Pete.
Thanks so much, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I'm going to go through a few background statements here to set the scene, if you will. Our general theme in most of these interviews has been to ask the question, how do you work with others? And the reason we do this is because we've noted, and as others have, that nationally and here in Alaska, there seems to have developed a more than usual political polarization that results in gridlock and decisions made by often the use of power that isn't always backed by a majority of citizens. So I'm going to start off with the first of a series of five questions. The first one being, how do you view the present quality of state government? And a second part to that, what do you think your approach will be to working with others of different perspectives to ensure quality government?
You know, Mike, I think the bottom line is that we can do better. And when I look at what's going on in Juneau, I see a real placement of partisanship, party ideology over constituents and folks back home. For instance, the binding caucus that the House majority currently has means that when folks go down there, they essentially join the caucus, get a committee chairmanship or placement on a committee, and give away their vote for the budget. They tell their caucus, I will vote for the budget, whatever comes out of the Finance Committee. And to me, that is no way to build smart government. Truly, I think it's a perversion of what democracy should be. Now, what I intend to bring to the table is a real, true concern for constituents and an ability to listen. I've knocked on well over 2,000 doors across my district. I've lost count, or else I'd give the give the precise number. But I listen to folks, and when someone brings a concern up to me, I believe when elected, I will absolutely carry that concern to Juneau. And I'll deal with fellow lawmakers in a respectful manner that ensures my constituents are heard and also the political process doesn't become so corrupt and ugly that it ceases to be functional.
Well, that answer segues nicely into our second question. How would you describe ethics in government, and particularly the money that's often connected to the issue of ethics? And a further aspect of that, what would you specifically do to ensure a good ethical atmosphere?
I think that's a great question. I turned on the television last night, and I saw 5 Begich and Sullivan ads in a row. I mean, that is a perfect example I see of our political process going astray. And the fact that we have so much big money in the process now, I worry that the people's voices are not being heard, especially the higher you get up within government. Now, this comes down to a lot of things. I mean, we all know about Citizens United, the Supreme Court decision that essentially opened up unlimited contributions from PACs. And to stand up against that, I have signed the We the People Alaska Constitution Pledge that in a nutshell says I will do my part to stand up against this influence. It shouldn't be about who can afford the loudest megaphone. It really should be about the message. And I think with the more money we have in politics, the harder that is to tease out what the actual message is. Now, I think in Alaska, this hits close to home because we're still just a few years off this Vico scandal. And I really believe that we need term limits. No one's talking about this anymore. But I think for House races, like the one I'm running for, 2 terms is plenty. We need to go back to a citizen legislature where we don't have folks that are career politicians going down there because they get into this cycle of giving favors and getting contributions. And I think we need to break that, return the legislature to the people, and ensure that the will of Alaska is being heard over the big moneyed interests.
Thank you for that answer. A third question. What do you see as the most serious environmental problems needing to be addressed? And along with that, what do you see as a state role in finding a solution to those problems?
You know, I think the state role begins with a open and fair permitting process for development. Now, this works both ways. I think the state needs to lay out what appropriate, clean, smart development looks like and hold companies to those standards when they develop either oil leases or mines. And on the other side of that, the state needs to ensure that there is room for development within this process, because that's obviously a huge concern as far as our economy goes. Now, I think with a sound permitting process, then we don't get these huge issues with pebble mine, because we'll have a permitting process that we can trust and we'll know will not trade out one industry, in this case copper mining, for another and for fishing. So it begins with that. Now, as far as environmental issues that are directly affecting Alaska, the more I read about ocean acidification, the more concerned I am. Here you have a potential environmental problem that directly impacts the fisheries of Alaska, both on the sport level and, of course, on the commercial level. Now, there are a host of other environmental issues, of course, but this one in particular, I think strikes home. And as someone who's born and raised here in Palmer and grew up fishing out at Jim Creek and Little Sioux and all the lakes in between, I think we need to protect our fish habitat. And in the case of salmon, they're returning to the ocean, which is, of course, the biggest habitat on Earth. And so between stream habitats close to home and ocean habitats that are threatened, particularly in terms of ocean acidification, I think that's a very big issue for Alaskans.
Okay, thank you. The state of Alaska has chosen to not participate in an expansion of Medicaid as offered by the federal government. What's your understanding of a government's role to make sure every Alaskan has access to health care along with education about healthier living and early treatment?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it is wrapped into this bigger issue of the declining middle class in the United States. It used to be that you could go out and get a job and raise a family, and a husband or wife could stay home and raise the kids and afford medical care and afford and be paying into a pension system so that the person could retire with dignity. And that's simply not the case anymore. The declining purchasing power of the middle class is an absolute fact. And so there are things that the government needs to do to ensure that the greatest driver of our economy, the American middle class, does not go the way of the dodo. Now, the expansion of Medicaid, I think, is a perfect example of government gone wrong. Can you imagine what Ted Stevens would have said to Sean Parnell if he saw him refusing federal money over an ideological difference with the president? Because that's what this is all about. We have 20 to 40,000 Alaskans that could have been covered under Medicaid if it was expanded as it was proposed. And we rejected that funds. We rejected that funds for all the wrong reasons. And we broke that grand bargain that is America, that is Alaska, that says if you work hard, if you have a good idea, you'll be rewarded for it, and you'll be able to take care of your family. Right now, we don't have a system that allows for that, and that's tragic, and we absolutely need to do what we can to ensure that hardworking Alaskans have access to medical coverage and have access to good-paying jobs that allow an individual to retire with dignity.
Okay, thank you. The last question. Many observers suggest that the next few years will see a decline in revenue that will put increasing pressure on the state's budgets, especially the funding of education as well as basic services such as transportation infrastructure and public safety. How do you see the legislature contributing to solutions for matching funding and needs?
I think from where I sit after watching these sessions closely, the biggest thing that the legislator can do is to start cutting wasteful spending. Take HB 287, for instance. That was $500 million bailout to refineries across Alaska. Now, some of those refineries genuinely were struggling. But others, like the Tesoro refinery in Nikiski, was not. And when given the option of saying this bailout only goes to refineries that are struggling, the legislator said, no, we're going to give it to all refineries, regardless of if they're struggling or not. $500 million of Alaska's money was spent on this. SB 99, $270 million spent on a risky loan to Canadian mining companies. These were loans that were refused by their own government, refused by private banks, and Alaska stepping in to foot the bill. I don't think that's right. We have the legislative office building in Anchorage, $7.5 million to renovate a building we don't even own. I mean, that's ridiculous. If I ran my household like the folks in Juneau are running our government, I certainly would have my house foreclosed on and I'd be out on the street. It's ridiculous. So I think it begins with cutting wasteful spending. It also begins by not joining a caucus that requires you to vote for a budget before you've even seen it. That's irresponsible. Now, on the flip side of that, I think we can invest our money smartly in ways that directly benefits our economy and the people. Take, for instance, if we invest in electrical grid, a $900 million investment. Sounds like a lot of money. It is a lot of money. Would save ratepayers $200 million a year. Now, what this means is we could transport power across the rail belt more effectively. That means we could run the power generation facilities that produce more megawatts cheaply and reduce the amount of spinning reserves that we have to back these power plants up. $200 million a year, it would pay for itself in under 5 years, and it would ensure that both individuals and companies have access to cheap, reliable power. That, to me, makes sense. We're chasing projects left and right. I don't feel like Alaska has a vision. We need to coalesce around a few key projects that help diversify our economy and are good for people and cut costs and not keep chasing our tails about some of these big projects. So cutting wasteful spending, to me, is the single biggest thing a legislator can do to help get Alaska back on track.
Okay. Thank you for your answers to those five questions. Are there any final comments you would like to make before we finish?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you again, Mike, and thank Big Cabbage Radio here in Palmer. It's such a fantastic facility you have. And I invite people to give me a call. My cell phone number is 775-7844. Call me anytime. Ask me how I feel on issues. I want to hear from you. I'm continuing going door to door. Hope I've connected with a lot of people. I hope to connect with as many as I can. But please give me a call. I really believe we can do better. This is an important election for Alaska's future, and I would deeply appreciate your support and your vote on November 4th. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Mike Malevsky here, speaking with Pete LaFrance, running for the State House. Have a good day.